Hello, once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney and President Obama are both in New York today as the focus of the campaigns turn to foreign policy in the wake of violent protests in the Middle East, including that very attack that took the life of U.S. Ambassador Chris Stevens. The president's foreign policy is clear after a first term that has seen the wind down of U.S. troops in Iraq, a surge of troops in Afghanistan, followed by their recent withdrawal, and the death of Osama bin Laden. Speaking at the United Nations this morning, Obama called on the world community to help confront the root causes of anti-U.S. sentiment. Romney's positions are becoming clearer today. Speaking at a global development conference sponsored by former President Bill Clinton, Romney said his foreign policy would focus on open markets and free enterprise in exchange for U.S. aid. Today, I want your take. And by the way, there are two phones already blinking off the hook. There'll be another three. Get online. Today, we want to take your position down. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Or you can tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. That's one word. You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. So what do you think? There are things to be said here, and I'm sure that you will say them. And if you don't, I will. Okay, let's go to Jason in Poughkeepsie. Jason, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, Alan. How you doing today?
All right, go ahead.
I'd say I'm satisfied with President Obama's term so far, as far as the bailout of Wall Street and the auto industry, and the foreign relations. I think he's doing an okay job. I'd like to see him concentrate more on the next term if he wins on the energy crisis we have, and as well as the health care, of course, and I'd say, you know, the schools. Mitt Romney, like you said in the past, he doesn't have a clear message. I still don't have a clear message on what this guy's intentions are for the country. So I think a lot of Americans feel that way. It's like,
well,
it's
Jason, he said today his foreign policy would focus on open markets, surprise, surprise, and free enterprise in exchange for USA. Jason, we got a lot of people on the phone. We're going to let you go. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Ellen in Kingston. Ellen, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Well, hey. As far as the open markets and giving aid that way, I think that's ridiculous. Really, I don't think Romney is in touch. We have open markets right now, and the United States negotiating that we'll give you aid for an open market. I don't know how well it's worked in the past, and I don't see it working that well in the future. I would rather stay with President Obama. Mitt Romney also disturbs me when he says that 40% of American population thinks that they should be getting aid or help from the government. I think it would be better if we helped our own people instead of sending millions and millions of dollars in aid overseas, which doesn't seem to be getting us anywhere.
You know, Ellen, I used to work for a congressman many years ago. And he would send out a questionnaire. I was in charge of the questionnaire. I was the intern. And the questionnaire said, do you think there ought to be a lot more foreign aid, some more foreign aid, or the same foreign aid? And we would get back all of these things from all of the constituents crossing the question out and saying, you know, who do you think you're fooling? We don't want any. So Americans have never been big on that, but I don't think we realize that there are deals. So if we want, an Egyptian peace treaty with Israel, we shell out the dollars, and there's a certain amount of buying and selling that's going on here.
Well, I understand that, but I'm looking at an America where right now we have people that are losing their homes.
Yep.
That have no health care, and the American people are really suffering. And I think a lot of them are getting resentful of the fact that we're sending $1.5 billion to Egypt, and we have people here who are in dire need.
Yep.
And the thing is, the government that's in Egypt now, truthfully, the man is the head of the Muslim Brotherhood. How much do you think he really cares about working with us?
I have no idea. You tell me.
Not much.
Ellen, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom in Catskill. 1-800-348-2551. Three free lines. Go ahead, Tom in Catskill.
Yeah, it's funny that the mention of the Muslim Brotherhood came up. I think they're getting a real bad deal in the press. My understanding is that this group has been around for quite a while. They are political, and they are not militaristic. Am I wrong on that, Alan?
You know, I don't know, Tom. I think there are elements that certainly are tough and preach a sort of hateful game. Now, one of the things that they have done, and I've done a lot of reading on this, is clearly in order to buttress their own prestige, they've set up schools, they've set up hospitals, they've, you know, done an awful lot of that. The real question is, what about the rest of it?
Okay, yeah, but that's, in any case, what I really called about is this, the question of, you know, which is better, Obama or...
Yeah, that's the question.
That is the question. I think this points out how badly we really need a third party. I think a lot of people are voting for Obama because they think that Romney would be even worse, but they have a long list of grievances with Obama, such as the drones. You know?
The program you just heard.
Exactly.
Hey, Tom, I know that you have a mantra, and that is a third-party mantra. And,
yes, it is.
And I respect it. I know that that in the past, one of the ways in which we have had change in the United States is we get a third party, they pick up on something that's extremely popular, and one of the other two parties grabs it from them. So it's worth having them.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, I maintain that if the primary elections had been fair, Ron Paul would be either the candidate outright or he really would have come in a very close
second. And how come, Tom, how come they weren't fair again? Would you remind us all of that?
Oh, goodness gracious. It's been so long ago. In particular, I think this was in Vermont or New Hampshire,
yeah.
which doesn't mean it wasn't going on elsewhere. But right locally in New England, Ron Paul was getting zero votes for certain areas of the primary. So people were turning up in groups, whole entire families and people, all their friends showing up saying, "What do you mean Ron Paul got zero votes? We all went down together and voted for him."
Yeah, that's always interesting. Yeah. You know, NPR recently had an election and they had to apologize for this. And I voted against one of the so-called public members that they put on. And then they came out and said it was universally elected. So I wrote to the list, in other words, all the public radio managers in the country. And I said, that's funny. I voted against them. There should have been at least one. And then came the others who checked in and said, I voted against them. And yeah. So, you know, elections sometimes can be manipulated. Tom, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Elizabeth in Brimfield. But before we do, I want to tell you, Elizabeth, you're the lonely light on the board right now. There are four other lights that are possible, and the telephone number is 1-800-348-2551. Okay, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Well, I'm pretty discouraged with both of the people.
Okay.
I voted for Obama, but I'm discouraged with him. I think he went in naive, and he got overtaken by the Pentagon complex and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the bad thing is that Romney is not for people. I the Republicans just want to totally destroy the New Deal. I mean, we pay our Social Security. It's not a dole out to us. People pay their Social Security taxes, and they want to get back what they paid in. I know that in my own personal people that I know, three people have become disabled that worked all their
okay,
lives.
Okay, but Elizabeth, because, you're a little bit off yeah, the topic today,
well,
today which is the foreign policy.
Well, okay, foreign policy?
Yeah.
I think
okay, I'll talk
I
about that.
I think that Romney talks good talk, and, you know, he's going to help Israel. Wait until he gets back into, if he becomes elected, wait until he finds out what the Pentagon, what the State Department, what they want, and then we'll see what's going to happen, just like Obama. I think he was naive. I think he got into the presidency. He got above his head, and, you know, there are a lot of forces on the executive.
Okay, now you made that point. As you know my rule, Elizabeth, when it comes around a second time, well, that's sort of it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Right. We'll go to Daniel in Harper's Field. Is it Harper's Field, Daniel?
Harper's Field, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
To get right to the point, basically I'm big on the environment. I'm big on science. I believe climate change is real.
Yep.
And for someone like me, it's not a contest. Yes, other things, I pay attention to other issues, also fiscal issues. And frankly, I think the Obama administration is going in the right direction. And they've had, I don't know how many months of growth in the job market.
Okay, yeah, but what about foreign policy? That's today's question, Dale.
Oh, the foreign policy issue?
Yeah.
Again, I think Obama has demonstrated that he deals well with foreign policy, and he's he's done fine with the trying to bring the wars to an end, and maybe not as quickly as some people would like, but certainly faster than what would happen under the Republican administration.
Well, let's put it this way, Daniel. We sent him to graduate school in foreign policy. Now he's fully trained. He's been around. He's familiar with the world leaders. Why would you change that horse for a guy who was the governor of Massachusetts who has, frankly, never done any foreign policy?
Well, Alan, if your mind is made up to believe anything is possible, if you're kind of not reality based, then I suppose you could believe anything. Well, Romney could do anything.
Well, the counter argument is that was true of Bush also, and he was there. And why should we have changed horses in midstream with Bush? And that'll be another program. But, Daniel, thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Okay, so if your name is Dale or Ann or Tim or Tim or Samuel, then we'll be right back for you.
Support for WAMC comes from Edward Jones, Uptown Kingston. Risa Condi, Edward Jones Financial Advisor, Making Sense of Investing, 845-331-6293. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Drawing to Excellence, Renaissance to Romantic Drawings from a private collection, works from the 16th to the early 19th century, smith.edu/artmuseum. Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch, with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, thedamcafeanddeli.com. Asopus Chamber Orchestra, Stone Ridge, New York. Music director Nadija Fofat announces the 2012-2013 season at SUNY Ulster's Quimby Theater. Works by Mozart, Vivaldi, Copland, and Stravinsky. EsopusChamberOrchestra.com. An Art Along the Hudson, Saturday and Sunday, Newburgh's Open Studio Tour, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and the Hudson River Ramble, plus the Garlic Festival in Saugerties, ArtAlongTheHudson.com.
You know, every phone is ringing off the hook from Dale and Ann and Tim and Samuel Arlen. We'll get to them all, but I do want to make one observation. I think we should have a Vox Pop in which the only thing we talk about is the underwriting announcements and which of them are the most clever. Vote for your most clever. I've always thought Dam Cafe is right up there, to tell you the truth. See, it's a sort of play on words, and then you could take it either way. Anyway, you had to be there. Let's go to Dale in Cobleskill. Dale, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, Dale. How are you?
I think I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's just a beautiful day. I think that there's a kind of a problem of disconnect in some cases when we look at particularly the Middle East today. I mean, we've been out, for now almost 12 years, this idea of promoting democracy to this part of the world, and then people have elections, and then people don't like what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen heard a lot of people complaining about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, but they won what was considered a fair election.
Yep.
and now all of a sudden we don't like it. I think things are going to get worse before they get better for one reason. I read a thing the other day from a guy who does research for big Wall Street firms, and after the 2008-2009 food price shock, they said the average Egyptian spent 40% of his income on food. And I'm sure that carried through a lot of that part of the world, and that had a lot to do with what happened in Tunisia,
you know,
in
Dale,
Libya.
Yeah, you make a very good point, Dale. And that is, I've often thought that, at least I think this is the point you were making, that there is a history of sort of national character in each of these countries. So you take the Soviet Union turning into Russia and so-called democracy, and now we have Putin, and we see stories in the New York Times about how he's got castles and, you know, and houses and the rest of it all over the place. You can't change the way that people approach authoritarianism that easily. But I guess you got to start somewhere, don't you, Dale?
You have to start somewhere, and these are fair elections, so I think you have to deliver the results and try to, I guess, help and guide these people along.
Well, what if the results are really bad? You know, they blow people up, or they kill Americans, or they do this or that. Then what do?
Well, then I think you have to try to do what you're doing with Iran and isolate them and cut off aid to them.
Do you think the president has the will to do what he said he would do today, which is to make sure, and it certainly sent shivers up my spine, that Iran could not have a nuclear weapon? Do you think he means it?
I think he means it, but I'm not sure he means it as far as attacking the country. I mean, I hope from my point of view that he doesn't, because I think this is a Trojan horse, that these people have been in power for over 30 years and they have never attacked anyone. And it's sort of like mutually assured destruction if they have a nuclear weapon, because if they ever used it, they would be destroyed.
Well, there certainly is that. You make great sense.
And the only person who's ever done that sort of thing was Hitler. And no other leader has ever launched that kind of an attack that would guarantee his destruction. And I don't think these people are crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think Dimashad may be a little crazy. I think he may be cracked.
But he's only one of three people that control the power.
Well, but he's the president of the country.
Yeah, but is he more powerful than the guard or the mullahs?
We will see. I mean,
I don't think he is.
We will see. I hope you're right. You know, guys like that don't like to give up power very easily. We know that.
They don't. But he's not the only power center. That's the only point.
Iran. There's no question. In fact, there are those who would maintain he is not the power center. Hey, Dale, thanks for the great call.
Can I make one more point about Egypt and Iran?
Of course.
If it wasn't for the president's policies with Iran, they were selling oil, and Morsi needs money in the worst way just to keep his people fed. And if it wasn't for the president's policy with Iran, they would be shoveling money into Egypt to help Morsi. And if nothing else, that policy is one of the best things that's happened in that spot.
Interesting. Dale, thank you for the great call. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ann in Ulster County. Ann, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Ann.
I kind of think we should keep Mr. Obama in there for foreign policy.
I'm really surprised you're saying this.
You're not surprised.
No.
No, except I wish he'd have a new Secretary of State that would really do talking, you know, as diplomacy.
So you're not a Hillary fan?
Not a Hillary fan. I think she's got an infectious laugh, but I think she can be really tough underneath, or at least that's the way.
Isn't tough good in that job?
No, when you're a statesman, you're supposed to be a statesman. You're supposed to be strong, a stateswoman, whatever.
Yeah.
But not threatening, I don't think, in any way.
Well, who would you like to see as Secretary of State if Hillary moves aside?
Good grief.
I think Kerry wants it, Senator Kerry, so.
Well, because he wants it doesn't mean. I'd like to see someone maybe from the academic community who's very knowledgeable.
Sure, that's what we need, a professor. How about Elizabeth Warren?
Someone that knows about foreign countries and yet doesn't have the political polish. That might be a good thing, you know, that someone that is going to be a statesperson. Because we know what Mr. Obama's doing. I don't like the drones, which was your previous program.
Yes, it was.
A horrible thing. I don't like him going out assassinating anyone throughout the world.
No matter how bad? Suppose we had a drone for Hitler. You would have not approved of that?
Those were different times. I don't know what I would have thought if I'd been back then.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's right, because if we're going to kill other people in their country, we can expect it to be done here.
True, and it has been done here. And I always love it when you call. Thank you very much. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It. Yeah, bye. Let's go to Tim in Jefferson. Hi, Tim. You're on.
Alan, how you doing?
Well, you know.
I got two issues with Obama. I'd like to know exactly what his foreign policy is. Pakistan was harboring Osama bin Laden.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing's been done to Pakistan. There's no boycott of the country.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What would you do?
Boycott the country.
Yeah, you just boycott the country.
They're not allowed to send anything out of the country. I believe the biggest thing over there is probably oil, like everything else in the Middle East. They can't sell the oil. And if you're oil rich, nobody can buy it. What good is the oil?
Well, first of all, don't you have the semblance of a democracy in Pakistan? We have a high court there that just forced another president out of office. This is not something you see every day. You can't boycott everybody. That is for sure. I share your antipathy. I'll be honest with you, Tim.
Well, I tell you, when Osama bin Laden is two or three blocks from a police station, don't tell me that government did not know he was there.
You mean the army station? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I think you're right. I think they knew, and I think that they're playing it, you know, I mean, if you're president of a Muslim country, and you realize that there are those who would, cut your throat, you have to play a very dangerous balancing game, don't you?
Well, I don't know how to even answer that, Alan, but the whole deal with Pakistan, what they're doing is they're harboring terrorists, and even the drone strikes, everybody's that last previous show, and they failed to tell the one thing that everybody should know. The Al-Qaeda is hiding behind innocent people. And so we know they're there, but they're surrounding themselves with 20 or 30 innocent people. So what is the casualty of the war? If Pakistan was not harboring terrorists, they don't have to worry about the drone strikes in Pakistan.
Oh, well, you're assuming that. I mean, you're assuming that we never do it.
Drone strikes were, am I correct?
I don't know.
Drone strikes are in Pakistan.
Hey, Tim, thanks for the call. It's always...
One more thing,
yeah, go
Alan.
Ahead, sure.
Libya.
Yeah.
All right. There's a movie, and Muslims burn an embassy and kill the ambassador in that embassy, and our government hasn't done anything yet.
Oh, I think he indicated today in today's speech that there would be something, that they'd get him. I don't think there was any question about that. And I'm willing to bet you a quarter right now that they do get him. This is real. They can't allow it not to be finished up, Tim. I'll be honest with you.
I think there's one more thing, Alan. Yeah. I'll let you go.
Sure.
As far as the bailout goes with the auto workers,
yep.
Don't tell me that's not a government. Government bails them out. So you know the auto workers are going to. He's more or less government buying Obama's vote.
Well, you can say that.
Obama, they bailed him out. They're definitely not going to vote against him.
Tim, you can say that about anything that is any decision that's been made. You say, well, these people got bailed out, and therefore they're for the president. Well, that's what democracy is about, isn't it?
Did the government buying a vote? The president actually
really?
Buying the vote? All the oil workers?
As Mario used to say, oh, really? Are you telling me, for example, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt bought the votes of all those people who had Social Security now, or who were grateful that he closed the banks? That's what democracy is.
Well, I tell you, when you're in business for yourself and your business fails,
yep.
Got nobody to blame but yourself. When the government bails you out, you know you're not going to vote out the person that bailed you out.
Well, yeah. I think we've come around a second time on this. Therefore, your time is up.
I guess I'd like to go. Alan, have a good day.
Hey, Tim, thanks a lot. Yeah. Let's go 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Samuel in High Falls. Hi, Samuel.
Hey, Alan. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing well. In terms of Romney's foreign policy, he sort of suffers from that, you know, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. First of all, he will never apologize for America, which every time that comes up, just drives me insane. We shouldn't apologize for the illegal coups of democratically elected governments that we've fomented and supported. we shouldn't apologize for training people to torture people at the School of the Americas. There's plenty of things that...
Let me ask you this, Samuel. If, in fact, he apologized, would it cost him at the polls?
I think it actually probably would cost him with a sort of, you know, Bachman Palin base, which is sort of my country is never wrong. It's funny. I mean, individuals, you know, apologize. I think anybody who's self-aware and reflective at all apologizes sometimes. I don't know why that's considered a weakness in a country.
But is it? It's not. You don't know why, but Samuel and I have great respect for you and your opinions. Well, don't you think, though, that you know, losing an election based on you know, a statement might in fact leave us in worse shape in terms of the Romney foreign policy?
Yes. I mean, my biggest fear with Romney is that this sort of hyper-aggressive, never-wrong stance, Obama said, he tends to shoot first and aim later. He has said that Obama's foreign policy is weak, which I don't really understand, and that we've lost respect around the world. And my impression is that we are more respected around the world, but that a certain mentality, hawkish mentality, equates respect with fear.
Yeah.
And that the only way America would be respected is if everyone is terrified of us because we're so hyper-militaristic.
Yeah.
And Obama has been far more militaristic than I would like. I mean, killing Osama bin Laden in his bedroom when he is unarmed is, you know, without benefit of trial, is not what I think of as this country's principles, let alone assassinating U.S. citizens abroad. But I don't see anything weak or wishy-washy in his foreign policy, and I think this is another one of these sort of
polemics
that the Republicans repeat over and over again in hopes that they stick.
Yeah. Samuel, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Arlen in Albany. Hey, Arlen, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I'd like to say that I am in favor of Mr. Obama instead of Mr. Romney, particularly because of the whole package that you get with the Obama folks, as opposed to Romney and the support that he has from a lot of people who I think their foreign policy has failed.
All right.
I think that Hillary Clinton has done a good job. I agree with the drone strikes. I think that Obama has been firm, but I think he's been even-handed, as opposed to what we saw with George Bush and his administration, where I think they went overboard, and it really hurt us in a lot of ways.
So you think? Let's assume that Samuel's last guy's argument is correct, that Obama apologizes and says, well, we should have done some of those things, and B, we're not going to use drones anymore. And then Romney comes along, obviously, and says, this president really is weak and wishy-washy. That obviously will work with the electorate. Now, we're talking about two things here. We're talking about what's right, and we're also talking about what's political. And to me, it's sort of interesting that we sometimes confuse those two.
Well, that's true. But I don't think that Obama is saying that we won't use drones, is he?
No. No, in fact, he's doing it. No, I meant... Can you imagine if he didn't use drones, if he did what Samuel said and apologized for past U.S. actions, whether the electorate in the United States would be more convinced by Romney that this is a wishy-washy, fearsome president?
I think that they would be convinced.
I do, too. Hey, Arlen, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You're a smart man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551 1-800-348-2551 We got two free phones. Let's go to Tim in Gilderland. Hiya, Tim. How are things in Gilderland?
Gilderlandish. I just wanted to hear your reaction to this. I think the struggle of the 20th century was against fascism and communism. I think the struggle and the conflict in the 21st century will be conflicting with Islamic culture. I think Islamic culture is fatally flawed. They do not separate secular from religious, and that's why you have in Egypt the Muslim Brotherhood and other, and then the other countries in Central Africa are trying to impose Sharia law. In this country, marvelously, it's embedded in our constitution and in our religious beliefs, is that you should have your, and should value and cherish your religious beliefs, but then you have your secular life. You have to go to work. You got to feed your children. You got to put food on the table. But in Islamic countries, that's not the same. And I think that's a fatal flaw, and it's going to be a problem.
And what do we do about the problem?
We can't accept it. And I think Hillary Clinton, I just caught part of her speech,
yep,
where she said, we abhor the denigration of this great religion. Well, maybe it's not a great religion. And maybe the fact that somebody denigrates it is an item of free speech. And it's accepted in this, in our culture, in our country, in our constitution, in our laws, but it's not accepted there. And for her, and I didn't catch all of President Obama's speech, but to apologize for something that some guy did, he made a 14-minute trailer, and to apologize for that is ridiculous. I mean,
I got to say to you, Tim, I agree with your premise that we have to have freedom of speech. But I also think this guy's an idiot. And I also...
You're allowed, Alan, to be an idiot.
No, I know. But when it costs lives, when you have a UN U.S. ambassador lying dead maybe because of it, that means that any one of us in the name of free speech can do terrible things that will come back and redound against the United States of America. And all of the world, I think that's a terrible thing. It's not that he shouldn't be allowed to do it. It's that, you know, some people love to get over and to make spectacles of themselves by doing things that are really unwise. That's what I think.
There's a guy, this journalist named Mark Stein, he said the best thing that would have happened in the last 2 weeks is that every newspaper in Europe and America should have published those cartoons of Muhammad.
Yeah.
And
well, then you'd have your Muslim war a lot faster. Because people do take exception to that. Hey, somebody says something anti-Semitic, I'm not a happy camper. I can tell you that.
Yeah, you don't kill anybody.
No,
for
of course
it.
Not. Of course not. But I'm still not a happy camper.
You're not understanding the distinction. Is that
I do understand the distinction.
Well, it doesn't sound like it.
Hey, Tim.
Because
we're up against the 40 break, which means
okay.
I'll
let you go. Thank you,
Thanks
Alan.
Lot,
as always.
Tim. Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we'll be back with Chumby and Mike and James and all the other people who are on the phone right now.
Support for WAMC comes from the United Way of the Greater Capital Region, Albany, New York. Live United, give, advocate, volunteer. UnitedWayGCR.org. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting American Impressionism, masterworks in watercolor and pastel, featuring works by Mary Cassatt and Child Hessem, arkellmuseum.org. Buxton School, Williamstown, Massachusetts, hosting an open house on October 8th at 10:30 a.m. Campus tours, class visits, conversations with faculty and students, admissions at buxtonschool.org for reservations. Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with special guest Western Swing Band Asleep at the Wheel, Thursday, September 27th, troymusichall.org. And Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, and Wappinger, New York. Fresh meats, seafood, local and imported cheeses, organic coffee, specialty groceries, local produce, adamsfarms.com.
Wow, you know, everybody's got a chance to get in right now. There are only two lonely phones blinking. That means that number one, number two, and number five are all open to you. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Chumby in Schenectady. Chumby, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I would like for someone to please identify where the apology was. I'm not hearing an apology that was being sent.
No. I don't think he said there was an apology. I think, unless I'm wrong, I think he was saying there should be an apology.
Well, what I've heard,
yes,
and I think from the previous caller, and
yeah,
I respect his opinion and his position on it, but what I've heard also from national and other local news forums and people's opinions is that we, the United States, should not be apologizing for our right to freedom of speech. And what I'm trying to say is, number one, never once did I hear an apology from this administration. What they did was condemn the idiot that made the video.
Right.
They rightfully stated that it was in no way a reflection of the beliefs and the values from the United States standpoint.
You make a good
point. And they
condemned
it. They did not apologize. And it bothers me that this word apology is being thrown out there, and it's not being, you know, people are not seizing the opportunity to stop that and say, wait a minute, first of all, there was no apology issued.
No. You know, this is all rhetoric. It's all polemics.
It's relevant, though, Alan. It's relevant. It's relevant.
No. I'm not arguing with you. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just simply saying to you that when people make these kinds of claims that, as you point out, are not true, they know damn well what the truth is, but they still think there's an access to the voter who, when you use inflammatory words like apology, and they won't stop it. Got it?
Right.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed, and I would hope most people that are smart enough to pick up on this, the word apology and the word weak are usually attributed to Democratic, to the Democratic side of the policies or the politics. And it just bothers me, because if any president has proven their strength in foreign policy in the span of 3 years, I would say it's President Obama.
Okay.
Regardless of what you feel, what is right or wrong, I think he's proven that he is strong. And he's a strong leader.
Okay, Chummy, we got to go.
To protect the country.
Got to go. A lot of people behind you. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to, first of all, I'll read you what Scott on Facebook asked. Alan, have you interviewed Romney when he was governor? Nope. What was your opinion of him when he was? I think he was all over the place. I think he was the same guy he is now. He has prostituted himself to win over the Tea Party. How will he govern if elected? I can't tell who he might be electing if he won. Me neither. Okay, thank you to Scott on Facebook. And let's go to Mike in where? Mike, you're on.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Get it? That was a little joke. Where? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I get it all the time.
Yeah,
it's like who's on first, right?
Yeah. Where? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm in full support of the Obama-Clinton foreign policy. I think they've been strong where they have to be strong. And I think they're a thinking crowd. You know, right after the ambassador was killed, you know, Hillary Clinton could not have been more clear of how angry we were. What happens right afterwards? The Libyan government arrests some people. The people of Benghazi attack the militia that attacked our ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
So that pause right there, making our feelings known, and then the people, you know, a lot of people in Libya said, yeah, thank you. And they went after the guys who went after our ambassador.
And if you heard the president's speech today, I do believe he made reference to when we get them.
When we get him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know he'll do it. You know, he's the guy who got Bin Laden.
No, he'll do it. Mike, thanks for the great call. And
thank you very much.
Wherever you are. Thank you. Let's go to RJ in Albany. RJ, you're on.
Hi.
Yeah.
I want to say that I think that Obama is a foreign policy is good. There's no reason to switch it, because the other guy, we really don't know what he would do. He probably have the old Republican conservative neocons, you know, advising him. But there's one problem that Obama needs to look at, and it's this new thing, like with this film where it inflames opinion in the Middle East, that those people in the Middle East, they have to understand that anybody could make a statement like that in the free world here, and they can't just blow up the whole world because something like that happens. Otherwise, you're just going to give too much power to these people in the United States to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's a very profound point, RJ. It really is.
And also, they should point out that a lot of that some of these people in the Middle East make very inflammatory statements about, you know,
Christianity.
Or, and we don't go, you know, killing them and whatnot.
Yeah. Good point, RJ. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Jeremy in Woodstock. Jeremy, you're on.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. How about you, Jeremy?
Good, good. I think it's funny that, you know, that the whole the presidential race is suddenly all about foreign policy. I don't think that's a matter of anything other than just like the rest of the Romney campaign. It's just a pure sort of flailing attempt at opportunism.
I couldn't agree with you more.
They've lost the economic argument. They've lost the cultural argument. This is all that's left, which is a pretty bad news for Romney because it's probably the thing that the Obama administration has been most successful at in his presidency. He's had the, because he's got the bully pulpit, he doesn't have to fight with Congress to do things.
No,
he's been more effective on foreign policy than he has domestically.
It's like playing handball, these guys. You know, somebody throws it against the wall and you got to be ready for any twist. And this is their latest twist. Jeremy, great call. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Edward in Washingtonville. Edward in Washingtonville, you're on.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Well, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm 70 years old, right? I pay taxes. I pay like $13,000 a year.
You're just a youngster.
I'm a young pup.
Yep.
I'm out here on top of a mountain right now looking at the woods and looking at the deer.
Cool, stay away from those ticks. Yeah.
When it comes to Obama, right?
Yeah.
Obama, a lot of things he does is pretty good, like the health care. In reality, there's a lot of stuff there that he has that's good. The problem with Obama and the whole system is the spending. I mean, if you don't have the money for a good idea, you don't spend. At least I don't. He does. And the Republicans, they do the same. And the whole the government is set up to spend. Where they take money from us, and then they spend.
Okay, Edward, bring this home. I get it. But now bring that home to the foreign policy, which is the question of the day.
Okay, well, foreign policy goes the same way. What do? We support them. We go over there. We visit them. We have businesses there. I mean, the bottom line is, if you hurt them in the pocketbook, you're gonna get a change of attitude. I mean, we call them and then they kill us.
And aren't there those who would argue just the opposite? That if you don't give them the money and if you don't support them, then they have no reason to be at all worried about what we think.
And then I'd say to them, they've been there for 2,000 years without us. All of a sudden they need us? 2,000 years. That's all they brag about. And they're true.
Okay.
Even China. They've been around a long time.
Yeah, Edward, I got you. We got five people on the phone. I want to give everybody a chance. We only got a couple of minutes. Thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate the call. And listen, I enjoy listening to you.
I'm delighted. Thank you, Edward. Let's go to Fran in Great Barrington. Hi, Fran.
Yes, and I won't be long, Mr. Allen.
Good.
Hey, it's like a household, you know. If the father or whoever's the head of the household has the authority, well, you got all these other people with opinions, too.
Sure.
So it's like, so this guy made this film. Well, it's about teaching. It's a learning and teaching process. So the people over there have to know that.
But
everybody's
they
religious.
They, but
well,
they
wait,
don't.
Wait,
yeah.
wait. Okay. We use that in a general term.
Yeah.
But there are some people that are very got wisdom over there, and they know better.
Yep.
It's war. It's war. It's the haves and the don't have. And they feel threatened about the authority that we will be between us and Russia, will exceed their oil, take it from them. So they use these menial things, whatever anybody that's bold enough to have freedom of speech in this country. And that fellow that they're talking about sounds like he's a foreigner at some point in time recently.
Yeah,
so,
but I still don't like it.
But they talk about the Catholics. They talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They talk about whatever. You name the religion. One is no better than the other. Let's give the credence to the creator, Elohim, Yahweh, the one that created us all, the sovereign. And, you know, the president has to watch.
Okay, you said you were going to be short.
Yes,
I said that. No, you have said
the
a lot.
The president has to take his stand.
And I appreciate it, Fran. I appreciate your call. Thanks very much. Bye. Let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth in Montgomery, you're on.
Hi, is it me, Beth, in Montgomery?
That's the one.
A motorcycle was going by. I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the CNN reporter that found the diary or the journal of Ambassador Stevens.
Yeah.
Where he said he was felt that he was a target. This is prior to 9/11, and I think this shows a laxity in our defending our own people over there. And I don't like that. I don't like the idea that he was where, and there were no people around him.
Yeah.
We had no no military people around him, and he was in a protected dangerous situation.
Well, weren't some other people
killed?
Beth, weren't some other people killed at the same time?
Yes, they ran out of the building because they were paid by someone else to guard somebody else.
I see.
They're just Americans doing a good deed, and they got shot. The point is that I can see a huge lawsuit against the Department of State, which is probably should have one. And the second thing I want to say is our freedoms are extremely valuable to us.
Okay.
And this is another example of where, you know, who's better at it at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go back to the old campaign. Again, I'm still a Hillary supporter. I believe it was, I just want to say it now. I mean, I'm sure she's touting the company line, which is what she's supposed to do as Secretary of State. But I think that it probably would have been different had she been there. And I'd like to know, if the war in Afghanistan is over, how come my neighbor's son is going to be deployed there in a few weeks?
You know, it's not quite over. No question.
I know it's not quite over. And I think we should get out of the Middle East, and our money should get out of it, too, and should stay home.
Okay.
We could build so many schools with that money.
Okay, now you've had your chance. I want to give everybody else a chance. Okay, Beth?
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's go to Felix in Albany. Felix, you're on. Felix. Is Felix there?
Yes, okay. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, but very quickly, Felix. We're running out of time.
Okay. I just want to say that President Obama's foreign policy is good. I think that he's a wise man. I think he uses caution. He doesn't run a rush to judgment. I think that the drones are bad, but it helps to save us from engaging in any type of real wars. Therefore, we are saving American lives.
Okay.
And I just want to encourage everyone to go out there and vote for the president, Barack Obama. Come November. Thank you very much.
Felix, thank you for the call. Let's go to David in Rhinebeck. David, you're on.
Hi. This is a few minutes ago where someone said that they have to understand this is a free world. You can say what you want. And in Germany, you're not allowed to deny the Holocaust. There are restrictions on free speech. You're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded
yeah,
movie theater.
This is something that our Steve Gottlieb had said in his commentary this week. He's a distinguished civil libertarian, and believe
absolutely.
Me, there are limits.
There are limits. The other thing I wanted to say was I'm almost through with the book called The Man Who Would Be King, which is the story of Josiah Harlan, the first American in Afghanistan who became a prince there, and the book describes how you have to respect the culture of Afghanistan. And this is in the early 1800s he went in there. And the idea that nothing has changed over there as far as the culture works. You have to respect the chiefs. It's like Americans, well, over here in the West, this is a different world, and you just can't come in and impose what you think.
Okay. David, you know? I think those are two very good points, and I respect them, and I appreciate your call. Okay, let's go to John in Amherst. John, you're on.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can, but you got to go really fast. We only have
seconds. Okay, I'm with that guy who just pointed it out, and I think it needs to be said over and over again. There are limits to free speech. You cannot shout fire in a movie theater.
Yep.
And there was that woman who wanted to put up the subway signs that were going to be defamous. That's just playing with dynamite and stirring the pot and making people too hateful and unconscious of what they're going to
John,
do.
John, I'm with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yep. Okay. Now, Noah on Facebook says, I'm really blown away by the caller that broadly condemned the entire Islamic faith. As this calmly spoken racist failed to mention, Christendom was conducting inquisitions while the Muslim world was pioneering science and mathematics, and that if Christians were judged by their extremists, the result would be just as negative. I am disappointed that as an educator and supposed fair-minded liberal, you did not call this person out on relying on propaganda-generated stereotypes. Okay, Noah, you may make a good point, but let me call you out, sir, when you say the word racist. I have objections to the way in which we treat each other here when we don't do it right. There's no reason to be inflammatory yourself, so I'm calling you out, sir. Let us go to Balmani in Schenectady. All right, Balmani, you're on, but only for a second. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan, I just wanted to say thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Number one, the mere suggestion that Barack Obama is weak or apologizing for our freedom when it comes to foreign policy is just ridiculous. I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
As a son of a veteran, I think we all know that freedom is not free. And just because you have a right to do something doesn't mean that it's the right thing
okay.
to do.
Bahmani, I'm so sorry, but that is the last word on the show today. We thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so everybody, that's the end of the show. Thank you to everybody who called in and had their say and said what they wanted to, and always great. We're out of time. I want to apologize to Abigail and Steve and David or all who didn't get on. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. Nature.org/Adirondacks. A.D. George Construction for over 25 years, serving the Pioneer Valley's residential construction needs, remodeling, additions, and more. From design to completion, 413-256-6752. And Identity Eyewear Albany, customized eyewear fittings, European frame lines, and more. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY eyewear.net. And Mohu, a 10-day arts festival happening October 5th through 14th with over 150 artists and arts organizations presenting dance, art, music, visual, and art. Mohufest.com. Thanks for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC Vox Pop on Twitter and Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Our engineer has been the incomparable Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartuk. Stay tuned now for a news update.